Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk some NBA betting is Zach Price, host of the Denver Sports Betting Show. You can follow him on Twitter at ZachOnomics. Zach, great to have you on the show.
Rob, it's always good to talk to you about sports, man. It's one of my favorite things.
Yes. So what we're going to do briefly, we'll look at what happened in the Super Bowl from a betting standpoint, but more importantly, we're looking forward. We're going from NFL to the NBA. You're an NBA expert, certainly on the prop side of things. You're a data guy, so there's a lot we can learn from you about the mindset side. But what I briefly wanted to touch on is what I learned during the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl treated me very well from a prop side of things. And one of the things we talked about on the podcast is building out live betting scenarios before they happened. And what ended up happening, Cincinnati once again went down early. That number goes from 4, 4.5 up to as high as 10.5. And of course, that actually didn't come into play in the final score, but it could have. So when it comes to our mindset and our process for how we create bets, let's always keep that in mind. On the flip side, there was also times when the Rams were at +3.5. So at various points in the Super Bowl, you could have had the Rams +3.5, as well as the Bengals as high as 10.5, both at plus money. Boom, you could have middled that, won both sides, getting it in at 3.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do, is to have bets on both sides where you can't lose, Rob. It seems like most games, NBA, NFL, but particularly in the NFL, you're going to have an opportunity to bet your team, whether it's the favorite or the underdog. Now, we do see some games where, you know, let's call it the favorite gets out to a 14-17-0 lead or something like that. And you just have to say, okay, I missed that train. That one's sailed. But if you're patient with the NFL, and it does work for basketball as well, you can almost always find an opportunity to bet your team at a better number. It's just the way the game goes. It's a game, you know, a game of runs. And so in the Super Bowl, we certainly saw that. So if you wanted the Rams and you didn't like -3.5, 4, 4.5, which of course it landed on 3, so you would have lost all those bets, you just have to be patient. The Rams got out to a 7-0 lead. If you were wanting to be patient, you might have been nervous there. Oh, the Rams are going to run away with it. And I think they scored again, but it's just a game of runs. These are professional athletes. To use an economic term, you know, my Twitter name is Zachonomics. I studied economics. Regression to the mean. And what that means, for you guys that don't know, is that things almost always come back to the center. So if a team starts hot, they hit an 80-yard touchdown bomb, maybe they kick a field goal, they go up 10-0. Well, the other team is probably going to come back and score at some point soon. And on the same note, the team that went up 10-0, they're probably going to have a turnover at some point. We don't see perfect games. These are not computers. They're human beings on both sides. And so what happens is it's going to be choppy, but they're going to seem to come back to that middle almost every time. And the Super Bowl is such a perfect example, with the Rams being down in the fourth quarter with 90 seconds to go, scoring a touchdown, taking the lead by 3 points. The spread was 4. I mean, it just came right down to that number. We know there was a mixed extra point in that game, which could have pushed that -4. And that's just like a human error. They missed an extra point. You have to calculate for these things.
So there are two other things that stood out to me. One, the things that we thought were going to happen. So going into the Super Bowl, we love to bet it because we're like, oh, I know everything about this. Of course, it is the sharpest market known to man. But what does everybody jump on? Odell Beckham touchdowns, Cooper Kupp touchdowns. And these things actually did happen. On the flip side, the things that didn't happen. So maybe you're on Cooper Kupp, but you weren't on the touchdown. You were on his longest reception or his yards. Both went under. Mm-hmm. Odell mm-hmm. Beckham Jr., I was on his over for yards. It went under due to injury. Oh, Rob, but that's an injury. But that's built in to the line. It's why there's more value on the under, is that someone can get injured, and that has to come into play. But Zach, the big victory for me was I played an alternative line on under Cam Akers rushing yards at 25.5. And why in the world did I do this? And this came out at plus 740. And it was like, all right, what do I know about Cam Akers? One, he's coming off injury. Two, in the playoffs, he has left at times due to injury. Three, he has also fumbled in the Tampa game. All reasons why someone might not be in the game. So I'm like, you know what? This is a complete long shot, but I'm going to bet that for some reason, Cam Akers isn't the guy that I thought he was going to be. And it ended up working. Little did I know, he was just running into a brick wall and Sean McVay is like, let's just keep on doing this. But I wanted to share this because when it comes to these big events, you can also think about what other people aren't thinking about, what doesn't happen. It's very easy to say why Cam Akers would do well. But what about the inverse where there's tons of value and opportunity on something not happening? Jamar Chase, he didn't crush his numbers. Joe Mixon didn't crush his numbers. So there's a lot more doesn't happen than does.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, this podcast is called The Sharp. And so sharp bettors know that there's values on these unders. And Rob, I know when you came on my show, you talked about alternative lines as well. You don't have to bet minus 110. There's not a lot of value betting minus 110. That's almost the sharpest line. You need to think outside the box. Cam Akers under, wow, what a great hit that is. So what is particularly the Super Bowl, they have 2 weeks to prepare. They have 17 weeks in the regular season plus 2 or 3 weeks in the playoffs of film to look over. And so these defenses are ready. When your defense can set itself and be completely healthy as well, it just makes it that much more for a healthy offense to score. A healthy offense looking at film on a defense, well, that's great. But a defense that can study an offense has an advantage. So the alt unders usually do have value, especially in a game like the Super Bowl. It's not a regular season game. These guys aren't flying back and forth, recovering, visiting family. They're totally focused on what they're doing, and that gives the defense an edge. So with Cam Akers, look, he you're right. He ran into a brick wall. We didn't think Cincinnati had the best defense, but they had time to prepare. You mentioned OBJ. He caught that first touchdown. I know a lot of people cashed on that. However, he got injured. And so, like you said, Rob, this is sort of built in, but nobody ever thinks it can happen. And so professional bettors like betting the under because injuries happen. You know, people can go cold. In the NBA, there's foul trouble. In the NFL, you know, your offense could just be on the run game and want to run the clock down and not be throwing to OBJ in that scenario. There's so many things that can happen that can make the under hit versus the over hitting. So like I said before, these guys are not computers. We're not playing a video game. To just assume somebody can go over 100 yards, and I did lose the Cooper Kupp yards. I'm not afraid to admit that one. I took his over 103 yards, and I think he had about 92. And he was phenomenal. He won the MVP, and it didn't hit. So it's like there's always value in the under in a public game, a TV game, no bigger game than the Super Bowl to go after those unders. The point spread under hit, the Akers, the, you know, OBJ, Cooper Kupp. Chase, you mentioned, I mean, I think even Burrow's yardage went under. I've made a lot of money on the Super Bowl in the past few years. I did lose that cup, but I was on a lot of unders and almost all of them cashed. I had no safety. I had no defensive touchdown, no special teams touchdown. Everyone wants to think of that play that they remember that's sexy. No one remembers like the defensive tackle that Aaron Donald made on 3rd-and-1 where he ripped back Mixon. Now, the one thing that happened is when the defenses study, when they get those 2 weeks of study, trick plays can happen. So that Joe Mixon touchdown pass, you know, I know a lot of people hit that one. That's like something that, you know, you can take an over on a little trick play. But other than that, if you're trying to bet players to go over yards or scoring touchdowns, I don't think it's a winning bet if you're betting on the superstars.
All right, Zach, so let's move forward to the NBA because now that football's done, we got to bet on something. We got college hoops, but you are an expert on the NBA side of things. And I saw right before this show, you sent out a tweet saying that you sold a futures ticket on the Celtics to win the title on Prop Shop. You bought it for $66 at 150-1 for the Celtics to win the title, and you sold it for $245, which gives you gives that new person an odds of 40-1. So I want to break this down very formulaically so that we can learn from you. So number one, what was your mindset going in on purchasing this Celtics to win the title ticket?
Yeah, so Rob, so I build a portfolio. I'm a futures trader, I call myself, and you just described a trade I made. And so I build a portfolio of teams that I think can win the NBA championship, and there are not a lot of teams I do think can win it, but I also have a number in mind, a buy number. I have a buy and a sell number. And so the Celtics, I do not think will be winning the NBA championship. So you might say, well, Zachonomics, why would you buy them to win the NBA championship? Well, at every team has a price, okay? So like, if you gave me $1,000,000 to 1 on, say, like the Orlando Magic, I probably would put $5 down because in an alternative universe, they could do it. In the case of the Boston Celtics, my price is about 85 to 100 to 1, somewhere in that range. I think I could start buying. So I waited and I waited. The East, it's a tough conference right now, but it's not a dominant conference. There's no team that I think can dominate. Even the Milwaukee Bucks, who won the title last year, they haven't looked dominant yet. Brooke Lopez is out. So I do have tickets on teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, I'm from Cleveland. I got a Cavs hat on. Most people won't notice this logo on the black hat, but this is a Cavs hat. The Celtics, I added a number about 100 to 1. So I wasn't even nibbling at 100. I was just kind of waiting to see what the market would do. I saw it pop up to 150 to 1 in late January. And I thought to myself, they have an MVP type player because you need one in the NBA to win the championship. If you don't have an MVP type player, you're not going to have a chance. Jason Tatum, he can turn it on at any point. When the playoffs start, Jason Tatum becomes an absolute monster. Jaylen Brown, he has experience as well. He can score in bunches. And then they have Al Horford in the middle who has tons and tons and tons of playoff experience. So they just got Danny Tice back as a big man that you need a big man in the playoffs. So the Celtics have some ingredients to make a run to beat a team in a 7-game series if they play up to their potential. If Jason Tatum goes off, he just dropped 51 the other night. So when I saw the Celtics at 150 to 1, I made my bet, and I like to like make like round numbers. So $66 wins $10,000. So I made a lot of Bengals $66 tickets to win $10,000 during the NFL season. Those didn't cash, but I did what you mentioned, which is I sold on PropSwap. I sold the Bengals at 8 to 1. So I made 20 times my money on them. The Celtics, I feel like 40 to 1, which is what I sold them at, is about a fair number. So when I got an offer at 40 to 1, I said, you know what? I'm going to take my cash and I'm going to wait. I'm going to take my cash and I'm going to wait. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They play the Pistons tonight. That could be 10 games. I'm going to cash out and 4X my value, almost 400% on that purchase.
So does someone offer you a price on that, or do you set a price?
Yeah, so you could do either thing. So you could set a price. You do offer a price. And then you can also like set a minimum bid. So just pretend you're on eBay. And let's say I had like 25 to 1 on the Celtics. If anyone wants to buy it right now, you can get 25 to 1 to me, or you can offer me a price. 40 to 1 was my floor on that, because sometimes if you don't set a price, you'll get offers, just like terrible offers. Like anybody who's been on eBay, people are offering 300 to 1 for Celtics. I don't want to deal with those all day. I have too many futures I'm dealing with. So I have 40 to 1. Someone offered me that. That's an instant accept for me. If you're going to pay me 40 to 1 on the Celtics, again, Rob, I have a buy and a sell number. My buy number on the Celtics was about 100 to 1. I got them at 150. My sell number right now was about 40. So I sold them at 40, and I'm just going to wait. If they drop to 35 or 30, if they start making a move in the East, oh, well, you know, that's not where I see them. I see them at about 40. That's where I'm going to make my bread on them.
All right, so I love your mindset around this in terms, because most people don't think of futures this way and being able to trade them. So here's the next thing I have is I was looking at what the futures numbers are as we speak today, Wednesday, February 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern. And caveat, make sure that you shop lines at different books. Why do I say this? Because the number at FanDuel and the number of DraftKings completely different, because I actually looked at my numbers and they were different. So on FanDuel, the Suns are plus 460, Warriors plus 460, Bucks plus 550, Nets 600. But on DraftKings, Suns plus 425, Nets plus 425, Warriors plus 450, and Bucks plus 700. So you can see where there's some variance there. Because really, Zach, the question I wanted to ask you was around the teams with the two lowest odds there, which would have been, if we're looking at DraftKings, the Suns and the Nets. And the Nets are a team, just had a major trade, very polarizing. But here comes the Suns. They're running it back, and they look like they are arguably the best team in the NBA. So I'm curious, from your perspective, would you rather be holding a Suns plus 425 or a Nets plus 425?
Yeah, Rob. Well, first off, let me get to your point about price shopping. It's the number one most important thing to do when you're buying futures, guys. You know, on my show, I can only mention FanDuel because it's sponsored by FanDuel. This show, I can mention them all. You got to price shop. A lot of shops out there have the Nets as the favorites. Some are sharpening up and they're dropping the Nets. I have never bought a Nets ticket all year long, Rob. I am so anti-Nets. I think they are so overrated. I have been saying it since last year. It's because they got those three superstars. Well, those guys never play together. Now they traded Harden. Kyrie Irving can't play at home. Kevin Durant's injured for another like 3 weeks. When are they going to get? This is the NBA. You guys got to gel. So I would so much rather have that team that's gel in the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, if we go back, and I like to look at that body of work, the Phoenix Suns in the bubble were fantastic. In the NBA bubble a couple years ago when Corona first hit us, they were like almost undefeated, and they couldn't, you know, they didn't have enough wins to get in the playoffs or whatever happened there. But they showed signs after they brought Chris Paul in. The next year, which was last year, they went all the way to the finals, Rob. I had them at 60-1. Believe it or not, in the first round of the playoffs, they played the Lakers. The Lakers were like the Nets of last year. The Lakers were like 4-1 all year long, and LeBron was injured. They just weren't doing what they should do. They were the seventh seed. They actually had to play in the play-in game. They matched up against the Suns in the first round. They won game one, the Lakers did, and the Suns dropped to 60-1 again as the two seed. I hit them again. The Suns went all the way to the finals. They won the first two games in the NBA Finals. They were up 2-0. The Bucks, as we all know, came back and won 4 in a row. It was Giannis's year. The Suns have something to prove this year. I don't know if they are going to win at all, but they will be that one seed. If you're listening to this podcast later, you'll probably see that. They will be the one seed. The Warriors will probably be the two seed, and the Warriors are going to get some more pieces back. James Wiseman, Draymond Green's getting healthier. I expect those two to duke it out. I like the Utah Jazz to also throw their name into the ring, but not the Nets. I am not about the Nets. If the Nets win it all this year, I'll either lose a lot of money, or maybe if they drop their odds to a fair value, which I think is like 15-1, maybe 20-1 on the Nets, not 4.25-1, I will buy the Nets when the value calls for it. Every team has a number for me, Rob. And the Nets, no, I will not be buying them right now.
Just like the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. Everybody has a price for the million-dollar man. So a few other things I want to jam with you about. My man Jason Logan from Covers had a great stat earlier this week. NBA favorites were on a roll for the first early part of February, to the point of like hitting it an 80% clip, and the road favorites were hitting it an 83% clip. And I started to dig a little bit more into this, and I'm curious, from your perspective, when you see an anomaly like this, what's going on? Of course, sports betting is a series of roller coaster line movements. We see it in all sports here, but is there something going on in the NBA that we should be aware of?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So the NBA is really a unique animal. The NFL is, I almost call it like a lottery wheel. Like it's just like you don't know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis. The underdog can beat the favorite. We saw Indianapolis Colts losing to Jacksonville to knock them out of the playoffs. Any given Sunday is one thing. The NBA is way different. It's a star-dominated league. And so in February, Rob, that's where we just had our trade deadline. Teams go either to go for that championship or they start tanking. And so you'll see a team like Portland shed CJ McCollum. Damian Lillard is injured. They're trying to bring up their young players like Anthony Simons. They're not interested in winning right now. And so even though the Blazers have an amazing home court advantage, a road favorite can come in and wipe the floor with them. Now, I do not like betting road favorites in any league. I don't think it's a smart bet. The NBA, if you have a star, though, and they need those wins, they're gearing up for the championship. Milwaukee Bucks just wiped the floor with the Clippers and then the Lakers in LA. You can have trends like that. However, I will put this out there. The sports books come after that, and they will notice that, and you will see regression to the mean. I don't expect that to continue. I expect now the underdogs at home to win. I love a barking dog at home.
Okay, so along those lines, so preparing for this, I'm like, let me look and let's get a landscape of what the ATS numbers, both for the totals as well as spreads, look like this year. And I'm with you, regression to the mean. The Brooklyn Nets are an NBA worst 37% ROI against the spread this year. Literally the worst team in the NBA against the spread. On the flip side, Memphis is hitting it a 67% clip. So I'm sitting there and you're like, whoa, 67%. I should just start being on Memphis and fading Brooklyn right there. But of course, it is not that easy because players come and go and these numbers are just the numbers and there's the regression to the mean. What can we take, if anything, from season-long numbers? We've got that on the total side or on the spread side. Is it more applicable on the total side with pace of play and offensive and defensive efficiency?
Yeah. So, okay. So on the spread side, I do think things regress with me, Rob. So like October and November and even in December, Rob, I was absolutely crushing the NBA, betting on money lines, betting on spreads, taking the Cavaliers, taking the Grizzlies after at first I wasn't on the Grizzlies. And then I eventually saw what was happening. I've always been betting against the Nets. That's another story. Oh my God, are they overrated? But the Cavs, like, is a great example. My hat, Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to be in Cleveland for the All-Star game this weekend. They just didn't get that respect early in the year. It's hard for the bookmakers to really grasp what is going on with their computers. A guy like me, I watch every single Cavs game. I go to every single Nuggets game. I can feel things by watching and then dig back to the data and realize, yes, the Cavs are for real this year. No one's respecting it. The bookmakers are late to the party. Eventually, it will catch up to you. So the Grizzlies are now becoming road favorites. I know, not this show isn't live this second, but like last night, the Grizzlies were favored by 5 on the road. So now you're seeing the bookmakers catch up to this. I'm seeing the Cavaliers being favored on the road against tougher teams, smaller spreads on them. Things are going to catch up. I do expect a regression to the mean. You might have a team like the Nets or even like the Sixers now, Rob, because they just got James Harden, where the bookmakers are going to still overrate them because the public just loves to bet these favorites. And the public also, Rob, loves when there's a trade. Even if the trade isn't that impactful, even if it's bad for the team, you'll never see a blockbuster trade made and then a team's odds get worse. They're all get better. They're always going to get worse. And so my strategy is to bet against teams like the Nets. I'd probably be betting against the Sixers. They got blown out by 48 points last night to the Celtics. I think that it regresses to the mean. You have to take each game as it comes. Don't look necessarily for specific season-long trends at this point. Maybe look short-term trends. Just evaluate each game as it comes.
And how should we be thinking moving forward? So that was great mindset advice there, but we've got such a disparity between the teams who are in it and who are all in and going for the playoffs and the rebuilding teams, the teams who aren't doing as well. But that doesn't always mean that, like, for example, number 2 against the spread on the season, Oklahoma City, 64%. Yep. So where does that fall in? Because we're looking, I understand the regression to the mean, but I'm looking for the opportunities or the spots, or where is it not going to be so heavily adjusted?
Yeah. So I have a couple golden rules when it comes to the NBA betting. It applies to football too, but especially in the NBA, 3 possessions. So when the spread gets over 6, you're talking 2 possessions, a 3-pointer and a 3-pointer. We've seen, Reggie Miller scored 9 points in 8.8 seconds. But once you get past 2 3-pointers, you could start taking the underdog. So +6.5, +7, +7.5. I love taking the underdogs once we get over that. The Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the worst teams in the NBA, I see them at +13 all the time, +11. They could be down in a game by 25 points. And then in the fourth quarter, the favorites sit all their players, sit a Joel Embiid, sit Jokic, and then Oklahoma City's young guys start getting an opportunity against the other team's backups, and they start scoring and cover the spread, having no chance to win the game. So anytime there's a double-digit spread in the NBA, Rob, I always will take, I don't bet them all, but when I do bet a double-digit spread, it's always on the underdog. I never want to bet a team in the NBA to win by 10 or more points because the three-pointer is so valuable. The underdog could just start hitting a couple threes when the game's out of reach, or even if the game is close and actually almost win the game. So that's what I'm looking for in the NBA is +6.5 or greater. I don't care how bad the team is. This is the NBA. These guys can play ball. They might not win the game, but covering is not that hard when you are outside two possessions. That's not a close game.
Zach, love all of this information you just dropped. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, everybody, guys, find me on Twitter. I put out all my posts, a lot of futures bets at Zachonomics. You can find me on Instagram at Zachonomics101 if you want to see my adventures in Denver. But Zachonomics on Twitter, that's all my gambling material. I will answer any DM anyone sends me ever about sports gambling. Find me there.
And I want to hear from you. Number one, how did your Super Bowl betting treat you? And number two, are you rolling with us in NBA betting? You're going to start to see a lot more bets from me coming on Twitter on the NBA side of things. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back top. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.